Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm Colin Jost, and I'll be delivering the Republican response. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of time. I need to get back to New York because I'm juror number 5 on a big trial. Trump's lawyer took one look at me, and he's like, he's got to be on our side.
Because he's white. See, it's a race joke about the Trump team.
Thank you, Kelly, for that very kind introduction. Mr. President, Dr. Biden, Vice President Harris, Doug.
Doug Hamill, the first gentleman.
Doug,
gentleman.
As you can tell from all the comments about my wife, I'm also used to being the second gentleman.
Scarlett Johansson being his wife, of course. The first line that really got big applause for Colin Jost on Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And
I am honored to be here hosting what is, according to swing state polls, the final White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Because if Trump wins re-election, he historically has not participated in the dinner. And if you don't have the president there, it sort of becomes a bit moot. Also, making fun of the president in absentia is not as nearly as much fun as when the president actually shows up and participates.
I hope that tonight will be a night to remember for most of us.
It's an old man president joke. Get it? It's a lot of those, right?
I was excited to be up here on stage with President Biden tonight, mostly to see if I could figure out where Obama was pulling the strings from.
Which is, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of the, wait, did he what now? It was almost like, you know how you can write a set that's almost too smart for the room? And I'm not sure that it was quite that, because it's a pretty smart room full of people in the White House Press Correspondents' Center. But still, sometimes, you know, you out-clever yourself. You know, you presume a little bit too much on the part of the audience. It's been there for a couple hours. They've been drinking, you know, right? Are they really under, even Maureen Dowd, you know, she getting all these jokes?
I have to admit, it's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying, like.
Think about it. Come on, that's a really good joke. Do it again.
I have to admit, it's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying, like.
Because it doesn't make sense. It's actually pretty good. By the way, I think I said Maureen Dowd. I meant Kelly O'Donnell. My fault.
But before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, "All rise."
So do you detect a certain kind of preference for which target of the jokes he's going to pick in the room? Again, this is all of the White House press correspondents, right?
And I would like to point out, it's after 10 p.m. Sleepy Joe is still awake. While Donald Trump has spent the past week falling asleep in court every morning. Though Fox News said he was just being anti-woke.
it made you laugh out loud, right?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people have thought it was not funny. I actually thought he did pretty well. I like Colin Jost. I think he's funny. I bet he had help writing these jokes from Michael Che. Of course, he dragged our congressman into it, because why wouldn't you? They always do.
We are all here tonight at Nerd Prom. Well, Matt Gaetz is at regular prom, but
see, they're laughing, but like, It's on the edge of defamatory, right? Because there's no fact established.
I saw Matt Gaetz here tonight, but it was actually just my own reflection in a spoon.
Okay. All right.
Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV.
And it made me laugh.
My Weekend Update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
Oh. Oh. Wow. That's... By the way, there's deep substance underneath that joke. You know, the black voters and Hispanic voters are really starting to turn on Biden. You realize that there's actually a policy issue right now where they have put off a several years old plan to ban menthol cigarettes in the United States. You know about this? This is amazing. So several years ago, the FDA banned flavored cigarettes of any kind. Exception written in for menthols because they got lobbied heavily by the cigarette industry and by, you know, convenience stores, gas stations industry that kept menthol in. Who smokes menthols? The answer you want to give is the right answer. Who smokes menthols? Black people. I mean, not only, but much higher percentage, right? Of all of the cigarettes smoked by white people, a small percentage of them are menthols. Of all cigarettes smoked by black people, a much higher percentage of them is menthols. Okay? So they've now put that plan on hold. Why? Because the science changed? Remember, they're supposedly the party of follow the science? No, because they're terrified that if in an election year they ban menthols, he's not going to get reelected because he's going to forfeit the black vote. Because Trump will run ads in black communities saying, or they will tell each other, hey, right? But just think about that as an issue. Like, there's no science to change here, okay? There's no facts have changed here. The American Lung Association has come out with this criticism. The American Heart Association has come out with this criticism. The estimates are, this is FDA type assessments, that 650,000 lives over the next 40 years could be saved by this, by banning menthol cigarettes. 15,000 a year, okay? A third of those in the black community. But they're not going to do it because they're worried about electoral politics. This is amazing. I don't tend to favor banning cigarettes. I don't tend to favor a lot of these things, but let's take for granted the thing is true, that it would really save lives and that people are dying from cigarettes, both of which are true. Okay, they're choosing to allow black voters, key to the Democrat reelection for the president, to die so they can get the reelection. According to their own way of thinking about this stuff, it's unbelievable. And also, by the way, which community in this country has the worst health outcomes, has the worst self-care, and tends to have all kinds of horrible health issues? If you had to pick a race that has these problems in this country, which one is it? It's black people. So for the sake of not running afoul of offending black voters in an election year, they're delaying a major health initiative that's been years in the making. And there's no contrary evidence to say don't do this. So when he talks about losing black support, there's, some real underlying truth to that concern. 618 on News Radio 92.3, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are looking pretty good here in Pensacola this morning, not seeing too much traffic build up. Just a little bit on Palafox coming southbound in between Tahar and Jordan Street. And on the intersection of I-10 coming off onto Cervantes. Otherwise, if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, Navarre, you are good to go. Same for Pace and Milton, not showing any slowdowns on the bridge. If you see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you're getting ready to deal with the pests that you're going to experience this summer, you're going to have, you know, they're starting to show up, right? You're starting to see ants. You're starting to be worried about mosquitoes. You might be worried about, I don't know, there's all kinds of things that you can deal with, whether it's roaches or soon-to-be termites. You know, every year we deal with this stuff. Well, NSEC's got a healthy lawn program that makes your lawn healthy, lush, and they will take care of you. Also, with the insects, they will prevent those. They've got a program that identifies and eliminates the most common household pests, roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, guaranteed results, free estimate. okay, for your treatment plan. They'll show up. They'll be on time. They'll show you what you've got. They'll show you what they did. They'll show you afterwards how it worked. So all of that stuff. They have got all of that stuff to take care of you. NSEC. Find out more at ensec.net.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us this Friday as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's the True Blue Band. They're playing a variety of R&B, soul, and roots music, so come get funky with the True Blue Band this Tuesday night at Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pollution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
That's an excerpt from the highly acclaimed documentary by Mike Judge called Idiocracy. 623 here on News Radio 92.3. Really is from Idiocracy. It was fiction when they wrote it. Now it's documentary. 623-437-1620 is my phone number if you want to weigh in on anything, including if you watched Nerd Prom. That's what they call it at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And it really is. It's an extended version of Weekend Update, only better, usually. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, in Baltimore, city leaders joined community members Sunday to pay tribute to the six construction workers who died in the recent bridge collapse. That ceremony took place on Workers' Memorial Day. It also recognized anyone who's been injured or lost their lives on the job. Almost a month after seven of its workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike, World Central Kitchen now resuming its charity work in Gaza. The D.C.-based charity provides meals to people facing war or natural disaster. They said operations resumed today with a Palestinian team delivering food there. And Major League Baseball apparently planning on updating its much-criticized uniforms this season.
Finally.
According to a memo that has been intercepted by ESPN, they're going to return to bigger lettering on the back of the jerseys. Mismatched gray tops and bottoms will be fixed. Apparently, the pants are going back to previous tailoring options, stitch count, and
so
all that kind of thing.
You can't see through them anymore? Is that
right,
what their goal is here?
I believe that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and the tops were super weird, honestly. The gray and, I mean, it, Like, if you could mess up jerseys this badly, it's amazing how it got through all the various layers of what I have to assume is a pretty rigorous process to vet this stuff. But no, they just got to the end point like, here's what you get. See-through, mismatch, ugly stuff that you can't read the numbers on. What?
Just what we always wanted.
Just what we were hoping for. Santa came early. David, thanks so much for the update. 625 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking all good on our roadways this morning. Not showing too much traffic. Again, like I said earlier, just building up a little bit on that intersection of Tahar and Palafox and Fairfield and Palafox, just north of that other intersection. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
You know, Governor DeSantis has been signing bills. We're into that season of things now. And a couple of ones that he signed over the last week I think are actually kind of interesting. They are, you know, it's funny. I find myself every year we talk about these bills from when they're first filed, and then we talk about the changes and the discussions around them. I'll just tell you the truth. I sometimes can't remember what the final version was and even whether it got passed or not. You know, I can remember we talked about it. I can remember what the issues are, but the fact of which way they ended and what, whether, because I don't know. I just, for some reason, my brain doesn't do well on that. So these are some like final outcomes, okay, for these bills. Committee substitute for House Bill 1281, interception and disclosure of oral communication. This now makes it legal. You know, in Florida, you have to have two-party consent to wiretap. Like, if you're having a phone conversation, you cannot record that legally in the state of Florida unless you tell the other person you're recording it, okay? So now there is an exemption carved out. If you are a parent or legal guardian of a child under the age of 18 and you are intending to record an oral communication with the child and somebody you believe might be a predator or might be intending to commit an unlawful sex act or physical force or violence against the child, you're now allowed to record that. And if it turns out that the recording does demonstrate that this person does intend to do that, you must turn it over to law enforcement. And that's in effect right now. Some of these laws don't go into effect until like June 1st, July 1st, something like that. This is a right now. This is now the law in Florida. So if you're a parent and you think your kid is, you know, being predated upon, you can record that conversation without the consent. And if it does turn out that you have to turn that over to law enforcement and that becomes evidence, which previously would have been inadmissible. It's committee substitute for HB 919, artificial intelligence used in political advertising. Remember this conversation about requiring disclaimers or warnings on, AI ads? If the generated content appears to depict a real person performing an action that did not actually occur, and if the generate, this is terrifying stuff, because it's not hard to do, and it's only going to get better. It's going to get better enough to where you won't be able to tell the difference. That's the scary part, okay? Everything from nuance to mannerisms to spaces and background noise, all of that. And if the generated content was created with the intent to injure a candidate or to deceive regarding a ballot issue, the political advertisement, electioneering communication, or other miscellaneous advertisement must prominently state the following disclaimer. Quote, created in whole or in part with the use of generative AI, artificial intelligence. And then there's all kinds of rules about how large the font must be and how what percentage of the height of the screen it must occupy the disclaimer. 4%, which doesn't seem like much to me. So if the whole screen is, 100 inches, what screen's 100 inches? It'd be 4 inches tall. Okay, so it's not nothing, but it's not that big. Same thing for audio components. Like if somebody runs a radio ad, 3 seconds. You have to have a 3-second disclaimer explaining that it is created in part with AI. My view, and this takes effect July 1st. So right before all the ads are going to start to be playing. Although primaries will come, you might start seeing primary advertising before that. I would just think ban it. Also, it's pretty hard to prove because you've got to not just prove it was AI, you've got to prove that it was done with the intent to mislead or harm. It's almost into the defamation zone when you start to say that. So I'm not sure that this will accomplish a whole lot because something that is false about a person. Anyway, so I just wish they'd ban it. In fact, I'd rather have them ban it entirely, as in AI political content. And the reason they're worried about that is First Amendment stuff, right? Because, lying is often protected within political conversation. But this is so dangerous. I would rather have them ban it and then have the Supreme Court or some court tell them you can't ban it than do this, which is, I don't think, going to accomplish a whole lot. And the other one, this is kind of, it's a smallish one, but it makes sense. Committee substitute for House Bill 461, excusal from jury service. A woman who has given birth within the 6 months before the reporting date in the summons from jury service may be excused upon request. Only to that specific summons, not for all others. That takes effect July 1st. So I believe what that means is that right now, if you got called, you'd have to serve. You'd probably get an excuse anyway. I've often thought that 6 months is actually not a lot for this because, you know, some women are back to work. And if you're back to work, I mean, you should serve jury duty. But if you're staying home with the kid, I mean, I don't know, a year or two. Because, you know, especially if you're nursing, I don't know. I think it's a little bit, I'm glad they have it. It's good to allow, you know, postnatal women to be excused. I think some of the details maybe are not as aligned with what you would agree to in practice. Maybe they could be. So it's an improvement. Maybe it's not the ultimate solution.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters break through a barrier and get physical at UCLA, at George Washington University in D.C.
Protesters tearing down police barricades. The video shows protesters stacking those barricades and then planting a Palestinian flag in them. It follows a day of arrests on at least four university campuses and days-long encampments after students called for their schools to stop giving aid to Israel and a ceasefire.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. At least 5 people are killed in tornadoes in Oklahoma and Iowa.
Several states are now reeling from the devastation of multiple tornadoes over the weekend. Here in Elkhorn, Nebraska, just outside of downtown Omaha, this is the reality for hundreds of families with truly nothing left of their home.
Fox Weather's Nicole Valdez. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy. Three people died Sunday morning after what investigators are calling a targeted ambush at Jackson Square on West Jackson and 65th Avenue. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says there was an adult birthday party happening in that area. Those three victims were in a vehicle in the nearby Jackson Square parking lot when several gunshots were fired. Shell casings from both a rifle and a handgun were recovered from that scene. Investigators say two people died at the scene. The third died at a hospital. Right now, there's no word on suspects in the case. But if you have any information, contact the sheriff's office or you can call Crime Stoppers. Also, an Escambia County teenager recovering after being shot on Friday night. The sheriff's office says that teenager was taken to a local hospital by a family member after being shot in his thigh around Triton Circle in Michigan Avenue. No word on any suspects in that case either. Congressman Matt Gaetz's office says he's now secured $20 million in funding to start repair work at the Blue Angels hangar at NAS Pensacola.
So the Blue Angels are in kind of an older, more rusted out hangar. We want to make sure that the Blues have a great home in Pensacola for generations to come.
That from an interview that Gaetz did with Channel 3 earlier this year. Some of the funding will be used to plan and develop improvements for the hangar. The rest will be used to repair damage from Hurricane Sally. A rare sea turtle has people excited in Okaloosa County. The Destin Fort Walton Beach Sea Turtle Patrol says a Kemp's Ridley sea turtle nested yesterday. The Kemp's Ridley, the most endangered sea turtle species, and it is rare to see them nesting on Panhandle beaches. Patrol members say they were lucky to come across that, especially as the turtle nesting season doesn't officially kick off until later this week. The patrol says they will be monitoring the beaches every day, looking for new sea turtle nests. And, of course, they're asking beach visitors to do their part to keep the beaches safe by picking up their trash, filling in their holes, knocking down sandcastles, and using only turtle-friendly flashlights at night. Well, anybody who enlists in the military probably remembers taking their oath of enlistment. But one Tate High School graduate took his in an especially memorable way on stage at the NFL draft. 19-year-old Ethan Harper graduated back in 2023. On Saturday, he took the oath of enlistment on the NFL draft stage in Detroit. The oath of enlistment is a promise to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And it is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing out there so far this morning?
Not seeing too much this morning, David. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. And The Pace and Milton Bridge, if you're coming over the bridge, you can expect some slowdown there this morning. Traffic really building up in Pensacola on Palafox Street in both directions, north and southbound, starting at the Fairfield intersection and going south all the way to Cervantes. So you can expect some slowdowns there this morning. Other than that, looking good. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you're looking good. And if you're coming in from Warrington on Gulf Beach Highway, that is not showing any slowdowns either. If you see anything else on the traffic on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a nice warm start to the day. Temperatures are going to be humid as we head into the afternoon. Small chance of rain as we go into the evening hours. High today near 78 degrees. Lows tonight near 68 degrees. As you go Monday night through Tuesday morning, we'll have about a 40% chance of showers. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. Tuesday afternoon, temperatures warming up near 81 degrees. Any rain we see on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon comes to an end by the evening with a low near 64. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 70 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 63 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing has begun laying off employees at the Michoud Assembly Facility in New Orleans, and more job cuts could be on the way. The plane maker added it is working to reassign as many employees as possible to minimize job losses. This news comes after NASA delayed the launch of its Space Launch System rocket by nearly a year. The Federal Trade Commission has announced Williams-Sonoma will pay roughly $3.2 million for violating an FTC made-in-USA order. Williams-Sonoma was charged with advertising multiple products as being made in the USA when they were, in fact, manufactured in other countries. In addition to paying the penalty, the seller of cookware and home furnishings will be required to submit annual compliance reports to the FTC. Futures are slightly higher following the S&P 500's best week since November. The Dow Industrials gained 153 yesterday, the S&P 500 up 51. That's your money now.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and...
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. They take great-tasting burgers seriously. Culver's Butter Burger begins as fresh, never-frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, Highway 90 in Milton, and coming soon, Culver's will be available with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Thank you.
County, it's to Beulah, it's to Perdido Key. It's everywhere. You see growth and development just exploding exponentially. And it is a difficult situation in some instances. People say, why can't you build the roads first, build the infrastructure first? We don't know exactly where the development's going. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have the money to build the infrastructure first a lot of times. So I know Commissioner Burgos has talked about impact fees and,
yes.
Yeah. And those sorts of things. And so we're going to be looking at some of those things. We need to look at them. We have to look at them. And he's brought that several times to the board. And I think he's going to bring it again.
So this was at the Coffee with the Commissioner last Wednesday. That's Wes Moreno, the County Administrator for Escambia County, taking a position in defense both of Jeff Burgos and of Stephen Berry. Remember Stephen Berry at that town hall last year got all defensive about people asking him, you know, why can't we have something like concurrency where you build these roads so that you have capacity for the cars before you put in the subdivisions, right? Instead of always coming in after the fact. And his answer was, well, I just don't think I can get support on the board for putting roads that don't have any subdivisions yet. Nobody's going to pay for that, and we can't even pay to keep up our current roads. And which I said at the time was, you know, A, you know, we need to do different with our roads. B, you know where the developments are coming. You can put it in when they're platted. And C, you know, be a better leader. Like, go to the board and get them to be on your side. Don't just complain that you can't get the board on your side. Concurrency is this issue where the basic idea of it, and it can come in different varieties, okay? The idea of it that I would like to see us have would say, okay, there's 100 houses on this street. Each house has 2 cars per house. That means that you need capacity for 200 cars. This street has capacity for 100 cars. Then we cannot approve the new apartment complex that they want to build at the end of the street. And if the apartment complex wants to get built, we've got to improve the capacity to handle the additional 300 cars that apartment complex is going to do. And once that happens, then we can go ahead and do a certificate of occupancy and move the cars in. Like, to me, that makes sense. Who's going to pay for it? Well, there's a lot of different ways you could do it. But in the short end version to me is, if the road doesn't have the capacity, then you shouldn't have COs issued for the places that you built. I mean, that to me is sort of the bottom line. How you get there, who funds it, what share. I'm interested, but, you know, does that mean that the builder has to build the road? Well, I don't know. Does the builder want the COs for the houses it's building? Can it persuade the county to build the road? If it can't, then it's got to pay. I mean, you know, to me, that's the way that ought to work, okay? Should there be some cost share between the county and of course, because in the end, they are county roads, which bring a benefit to everybody, not just to the people who live in that area. But the short version to me is, if you don't have the capacity, you shouldn't be allowed to do the certificate of occupancy for the home or the apartment complex. Now, I think you can have this same conversation about schools, although schools run a little bit differently. I think you could have the same conversation about water service and power and, you know, a lot of other things, law enforcement. But roads are the ones that we really do poorly. That's the one we really do the worst. And so that's the one where you need to work on it. And here's what's interesting to me is, you know, Commissioner Burgos has said again and again and again that he's in favor of concurrency. And I say, okay, bring it before the election. In fact, we've now heard him talking about this again and again. And again, I say, great, bring it before the election. Let's get people on record voting for or against it.
One thing we never did that every other large county in the state does is we've never done any kind of concurrency. We ended that. The state ended it back in 2011. And we've never done impact fees. Now, I'm not a fan of, you know, making it punitive. But here's what I know. Other parts of the country, you don't get to put a 400-unit apartment complex in and just tell the county or the city, just deal with it, make some more roads and sidewalk. You don't get to do that. You have to pay for that, right? And so we're the only large county in the state that doesn't have some form of either concurrency, transportation, mobility fees, or impact fees.
Yeah, I don't like the impact fee concept. That doesn't solve a lot. I want it really tied to the capacity has to be there, either before the CO or in conjunction with the development order, however that's going to work. It needs to happen so that when the people are in the houses with their cars, then the roads are there for them to drive on.
You know, Administrator Marino is right. I've brought him multiple times. I brought that back after the last election in 2020. I brought him in 2021. Christine Fanchi.
By the way, this is a response to me saying that he only brings it as an election issue, okay, which I had said previously. It looks like he's bringing it as an election issue. Prove it. Do it before the election. Okay, so he's defending himself against that criticism, which is fine. I mean, that's appropriate for him to do.
Christine Fanchi, a former traffic director, brought a presentation to the board about transportation mobility fees. Unfortunately, I did not have the votes to make that happen. You got to have Commissioner Math. You have to have three votes. I brought it. We did a presentation. I didn't have the votes. I brought it again in 2022. I brought the idea of impact fees and or concurrency.
Great. Bring it again. Bring it again. Get the votes. Or get Stephen Barry and Lumen May to vote no. See what Mike Kohler does. I think he'd vote yes. You know, get there's, I mean, and we have, you know, going to be elected a fifth commissioner. But, you know, you got three people up for re-election this year. Bring it this year.
Currency I like better. It's better than impact fees because it allows the developer to make a choice. If he wants to build a large subdivision, for instance, next to a school that's already over capacity, well, then he's got to pay the school board a fee to mitigate that burden. Same thing for roads, stormwater infrastructure, and other public facilities. That way the developers can choose, okay, should I build here or should I build over here where I don't have to pay anything because the schools there are not over. I like that because it gives developers a little more choice.
Yeah, which is appropriate, right? I'm actually not a fan of impact fees because I think they're just not, it just doesn't work. It's not enough money, and it doesn't really, it would solve future problems, which is kind of the point of it, but I don't know that it really solves for the going along and getting it done now. Somebody texts in funny, says, can you be the spokesman for Santa Rosa County infrastructure? Oh, same thing in Santa Rosa. You know, same thing. we shouldn't be building this stuff until we have the capacity. And we know where they're building, you know, and we can expand in those vicinities or else we don't issue the development order or we don't issue the certificate of occupancy. Back to Commissioner Bragash's comments from the coffee.
I think it's time for us to do something like that. And Wes, I will be bringing it back. I just want folks to know this is not a campaign issue. Again, I brought it in 2021 after the campaign, right? I brought it in 2022. It's something that we need. The citizens want it. Every town hall I give, I say, hey, do you support impact fees? Guess what? All green yes cards.
Great. Again, bring it now. Not just before the election, by the way. Bring it before the primary. Bring it before the primary because this is a thing that voters are going to care about. And, you know, in District 1, the only election that matters is the primary because whoever wins the primary is a lock to win the general election. 437-1620. I'll come back to this in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are seeing just some regular traffic buildup. If you're heading eastbound on Fairfield, you can expect to see some delays where Fairfield and Tahar split off and intersect with Palafox. That's building up a lot. And then if you're heading southbound on Palafox, you can expect to see some delays in between that intersection and Jordan Street. Going eastbound on 98, you can see at 87, right as you cross 87 and the Navarre Beach Causeway, rounding that bend, some slowdown there. And Pace and Milton's showing some slowdown coming into Pensacola right at the intersection of Scenic Highway. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This report is sponsored by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the conversation that Commissioner Bragash was having last week about concurrency and basically doing your land development code in such a way that you have to have the capacity for the people before the people can move into a place, right? That's the basic idea of this, whether it's the builders build it, whether it's the builders pay for the building or whatever, or whether there's some kind of a joint funding arrangement between the county and the builders, but it needs to be done. Otherwise, you wind up, you know, coming in after the fact and trying to widen from, you know, barely a two-lane road into a four-lane or from a barely two-lane into three-lane. You know, it should be there ahead of time. That's the basic idea of concurrency, which he has repeatedly said he supports and which he says is not a campaign issue. And I said, well, the way to prove that is to do it now before the election. Really put your neck and the other commissioners' necks on the line to really have to vote for it. Because, man, people want this. People want it. And see, the allegation against Jeff Bragash is that he is funded primarily by the builders and that he does whatever they want. That's the allegation, okay? Kind of like the allegation against Sam Parker in Santa Rosa County. And I said, well, you can prove that allegation is false by doing what people want. And no, nothing against builders. Builders respond to a service, you know, that people want. They want houses. I want houses. We built a house. I have no problem with developers. I have no problem with builders. But building that doesn't also come with the necessary infrastructure, that's the problem. That's true whether it's schools. That's true whether it's stormwater. That's true whether it's roads or anything else. Anyway, back to his comments, giving him the full opportunity to explain himself. I can.
You know, I think we need to redo the entire land development code. I ask that at every town hall that I do, and everyone says yes, because right now, without concurrency, without impact fees, they can go in and build an Altura, and it's never even going to come to the board. I'm going to repeat that. It never came to the board because everything they did fit within our current codes, which is very, very much tilted in the favor of developers.
But, of course, he's responsible, either through action or neglect of action, to change that code, and which he's saying it needs to be changed. And, okay, again, fine, good, change it. Altura, I think, is the one that's over off Perdido Key Drive, that giant apartment complex that just went in there.
That's one of the things that we need to do. That's one of the things I'm gonna do once I get the votes. I think concurrency is something I'm starting to hear rumblings from one of my counterparts that I might have another vote. So I'm going to bring that back.
That's 2 out of 4 so far.
Why can't we have a one-way road, go under the bars, come up? We need to work with the state to get a little of that property and have it come up and merge right onto Perdido Key Drive after the bridge. Because right now you're coming out of that giant apartment complex and you got folks trying to make a left and it's a disaster. Awesome. Someone's going to die. It wasn't well thought out. And it's one of those reasons why we need transportation concurrency. If you have that in place, before those guys build, you got to say, well, how are you going to mitigate it? And you're going to pay for it. We don't have that now. They just get to do it and we do this. We shrug our shoulders and that's going to come to an end. We're going to fix that.
Good. Good. Again, do it. I'm 100% in support of this. If he would actually do it and put it up there for a vote, I will support. In fact, if he brings it for, I will praise him for doing it, even if it fails. I'll praise him for doing it. And I'll criticize anybody who votes against it, depending on the exact shape of it. But yeah, absolutely, this is right.
Both is good, but it has to be managed properly. Other parts of the country, you know, you add another lane if you're going to add, you know, 1,000 houses, or you add a school, and we have not had a mechanism by which we could do it. So I would say the frustration is real. I share the frustration, but the way to make a change is you've got to lobby the commission. You've got to come, you've got to bring 5, 8, 10 people every week and say, we need concurrency back. It needs to be put back in the land development code.
And so he's basically encouraging people to show up in their, what would you think, gray shirts for roads? I'm not you know, because red shirts, yellow shirts, blue, everybody shows up in a shirt, right? That's the new thing, is everybody shows up in their shirts. I think gray shirts for roads is kind of it's not the most appealing thing, but maybe that would do something for you. So here's my thought about this. Again, I am a frequent critic of Commissioner Burgash, and I have been the one who said, to which he's responding, that, you know, this was a campaign stunt, that he says it when it's campaign time and then doesn't really do it. Prove me wrong. I would be glad to be proved wrong. And I will praise him if he does it. And if he brings it, and then, you know, Stephen Barry votes against it, or Luma May votes against it, you know, I'll dole out the criticism for them for voting against something that everybody wants. Do it before the primary. So I will say this. It has been, he did this at not just this last coffee, but at the previous coffee with the commissioner. He talked about this. And so I've been kind of debating how I wanted to number this, but here's where I'm at. We are now officially on concurrency watch for Jeff Burgash. We're on concurrency watch. Will he bring it to a discussion? I think a committee of the whole makes perfect sense. We haven't had one in almost 2 years. But bring it to an actual voting meeting before the primary so that we as voters can decide who we want to vote for to be in the county commission. Bring it. And by the way, depending on how you count it, if you go back to this coffee, it's been 5 days. If you go back to the prior coffee, it's been 40 days. I'm going to go with 40 days because he's been talking about this a lot in the last 40 days. So 40 days and 3 meetings on concurrency watch. Prove me wrong. Bring it. Again, I will gladly praise you for actually bringing it, making it in a way that works, and then maybe even getting it passed. That would be fantastic. It's what everybody, including you, say you want. Let's see it. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Fleet Feet Pensacola, your running, walking shoe store, now open on Sundays. Come by our Pensacola store at 236 West Garden Street across from Everman. We use our Fit ID scanner and pressure plate analysis to fit you in the right running, walking, or comfort shoe. We offer running and walking coach training programs. Fleet Feet is here to make your life better. Get your free foot scan today at Fleet Feet on Garden.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Angelina's cooking class, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Space, the final frontier.
You don't have to actually windmill your arm onto that air guitar while you're driving, but if you're not, like, wishing you could, then we're probably not as close as you think we are. 656 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy, who does, in fact, well, not a guitar, it's a bass, but, you know.
I play guitar, too.
What's the difference?
Yeah, well, whatever. If you are heading eastbound on 98, going into Navarre, passing Navarre, once you pass that 87 on your left and the Navarre Beach Causeway on your right, you are going to see some slowdowns going all the way to Hurlburt Field. We've been seeing a lot of traffic going into Hurlburt. And then if you're coming in from Pace and Milton, you might get some slowdowns, specifically in that intersection on Scenic Highway. Otherwise, looking good. Palafox, like we mentioned earlier, was pretty busy with traffic. It looks to be clearing up a little bit. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to do, where to buy from, where to go. I know you put it off because nobody likes buying a car. I mean, it's a pain. Just all around, it's a pain. The question, I mean, it's probably never going to be like a, woohoo, I get to go buy a car. But what you can maybe get to where is at least it doesn't hurt so much, right? And you enjoy the end result. That's Frontier. Okay, best car buying experience I've ever had. Genuinely easy, simple, easy to work with. Even and some little things I don't want to tell you about, but like when you buy a car from them, something cool happens, and it's you almost kind of like, oh, that's neat. And then they followed up with me afterwards 6 months and a year later to make sure everything was fine with the car and actually fixed a key that didn't work for free. A year after I bought the car, they fixed a key that didn't work on a car I bought a year ago from a used car dealership. Who does that? Well, Frontier does, okay? Because they want to make sure you're happy because they're trying to sell you cars that are like new, that are almost new, that are, you know, gently used, right? 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. That's what they specialize in. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 657, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a baby's among at least five people killed by a powerful storm system that spawned tornadoes across four states. The four-month-old was one of four people that died in Oklahoma, including another person that died at a sports bar hit by a tornado. And another person died in Iowa due to storm-related injuries. The White House urging protesters on university campuses against the Israel-Hamas war to keep their demonstrations peaceful. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby talked to ABC this week. He said that the president understands their strong feelings. However, they condemned anti-Semitic language and threats that have been seen at some of those demonstrations. And apparently Logan Paul is going to be a girl dad. The YouTuber turned boxer and professional wrestler and apparently Prime energy drink spokesperson. And he's got his hands in everything. And his fiancée, Danish model Nina Agdal, revealed the baby's gender during a wrestling-themed party in front of family, friends, and followers over the weekend. Apparently, they had two people having a wrestling match, one wearing blue, the other pink, and that's how they revealed the gender to everybody at the party.
Nothing like the little blue pile-driving the little pink in order that's to right. show you that it's going to be a boy or pink or whatever. I don't remember which one you said. David, thanks so much for the update. All right, super quick future news. Will we get concurrency in the next 2 months before the primary?
No.
I actually think yes. I think yes, we'll do it. I certainly hope so. Will we use the Soviet-era jets we just bought to help the Ukrainians?
Local yes. Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.